Welcome to Transition, Gadget 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about a whole bunch of controversial things related to gaming, starting with Nintendo's online service. Now, whenever we say Nintendo and online in the same sentence, a bunch of people start their demon summoning rituals to get to play Splatoon 2 properly.
More like Nintendo's offline service.
Yeah, because...
Or more like Nintendo offline. What service?
Yeah, so $20 a year for a service that may not exactly work as expected. So that's... We are recording this on September 17th, 2018. And that's expected to roll out on September 19th in India and 18th in the US. Now... The other thing we are going to be talking about is very, very controversial. It has something to do with Spider-Man and how a bunch of buyers were left stranded, in the words of one of the people on this podcast, which means games editor Rishi Alwani is here.
Yeah, but I don't think they were stranded, more like Death Stranding. But anyway, we'll get to that soon enough.
Yeah.
And we also have a friend of the podcast.
Mikhail Madnani.
Yeah, currently doing save data cloud backup.
Yeah.
Cloud saves who though?
Soon, yeah, 2019.
Was on that Xbox a Final One, Fantasy reference?
Yeah,
on so... Xbox One and Nintendo Switch.
Anyway, so what happened is Nintendo is finally launching its online service for the Switch this week. It's very imaginatively called Nintendo Switch Online. And it's basically their equivalent of PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live.
What this Xbox means, Live Gold.
Sorry, Xbox Live Gold. So what this means is, yes, you can use it to play games online, play multiplayer stuff. And at the same time, you can also get access to a certain number of games each month. And while PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live Gold give you access to games relevant to the console, games for the console. So for example, with PlayStation 4, you could get Destiny 2 free, and that was a PS4 game. Or with Xbox, you could get stuff like Assassin's Creed Black Flag. With the Nintendo Switch Online service, you get access to NES games, Nintendo Entertainment System games, also known as the Famicom in some parts of the world. And at launch, you get access to 20 of them.
And basically, in addition to that, the games that you get aren't like PS Plus or Xbox Live Gold games where you get to keep them as long as your subscription is valid. This is more like a Netflix or subscription service for these games where they'll continue to add stuff. And also, these games need, just like how... you know, when you buy some software or when you buy games on PC, DRM requires online checks. That's the same thing over here. The Nintendo and the NES games, which are like, you know, basically ROMs with online functionality and suspend, resume stuff like, you know, which everyone's used to on 3DS, Wii and Wii U. And the NES Classic Mini, it needs to like do an online check every week for these games to make sure that you still have an active subscription. So basically, they're afraid that people are going to subscribe for 1 month just so they can scam Nintendo out of like playing these old games, which most people do not care about, or most people already have bought multiple times across other systems. And yeah, and to take things even further, at the end of the online segment, they showcased NES controllers. Everyone got excited because nostalgia and stuff like that, because they apparently enjoy using these bad controllers. But then people also like are paying for GameCube controllers, so what am I supposed to say? Or even the Duke Xbox controller. But what happens with the NES controllers is you can't actually buy them if you want to. It's only for people who are paying the online subscription. So they are gating controllers which only work wirelessly on the Switch to play specific games. Like specific ROMs, I should say. It's just baffling. And the worst part of all of this is we're literally days away from launch. They announced, they had a big showcase for it in last week's Nintendo Direct. And they had the audacity to say that for special offers, we'll talk about it soon. Like, you're launching your service in a few days. There's no soon anymore.
Yeah, so, I mean, their approach to soon is similar to my approach to turning in my stories at work. But, yeah, I mean, just to dial back a bit, I find it very, I mean, I'm very shocked that you think that the GameCube controller is bad, and as is the Duke controller, but...
Rishi_gianthands@gmail.com.
No, it's not even about that. The GameCube controller is, like, probably made for only Smash fans, you know, like, people who don't play real fighting games. So, yeah.
But Smash is a real fighting game.
Okay.
Because Tekken 7 isn't.
I agree with that, though.
There we go. No, but jokes aside, yeah, we have no idea on what the special offers would be.
There are rumors that people who subscribe to the online service will get an additional savings to the normal discount which you get on Switch games. Now, Nintendo devices have traditionally been terrible at giving you digital discounts, where what you'd expect on other consoles, like a 50-60% discount, would usually be 10-20% maximum on the Switch. But there was a rumor that the online service people will get 20% over the top, which seems a bit unlikely. In fact, it might be more like 5-10% maximum more, which is kind of like how Xbox Gold and PlayStation handle these things, where they either have exclusive offers for Gold members and for PlayStation Plus subscribers, or if there's a normal sale, the paying subscribers get 10% or 20% extra. But given how bad Nintendo is, or they were with it, things have improved now, where a lot of games get discounted decently. But it's still like the justification I see from most people who are okay with this. I mean, obviously, if you're using your Switch to play online, you have to be okay with this because you don't have an option except not playing online. You still need to use that stupid smartphone app, which is region locked. You can't download it in India unless you use another region iTunes account or you sideload on Android. And the save data cloud backup, which, you know, like, people kind of expect this, where you don't want to lose your progress. That's not even available for every game. Splatoon 2 will not have save data backup because Nintendo says people will use it to exploit the backup restore system to restore their rank if they lose rank. Now, let's just look at it from the outside as someone who plays like multiple online games on multiple systems. Have you noticed how games like Battlefield, games like Overwatch, games like World of Warcraft, when you log in on any system, all your data is ready? It's because online-focused games, the data for each person is stored on the server so that you cannot exploit this. Games like The Division and all had issues with this, where they were storing progress locally. Any game which stores any save progress locally in a multiplayer situation, people will try and screw around with it, and they will either get banned or they'll make life difficult for the other people. So because Splatoon 2, a game which is like, it has a single player campaign, it still is multiplayer focused. Basically, they don't want to store data for a multiplayer game on their server, so they're storing it locally, and they're not letting you back it up because they think you'll try and exploit this. Let that sink in for a minute. So yeah,
so I mean, that aside, the other point of concern is the chatting itself. It's next to impossible to do without the app. Now, some games have found a workaround. Fortnite, for example, uses its own APIs. And in fact, they built an API to make sure this was possible. But we don't know how many games might do something similar. Chances are, given the Switch's popularity, we've seen a bunch of multiplayer games already available. We've seen Paladins, we've seen Fortnite, Arena of Valor is getting out of early access very soon. And we've also had Splatoon do really well too. So
even Warframe is coming in a few months.
Yeah, Warframe's out November 20. So my point is, you have a ton of games, and I don't think the app is going to be the best solution. I think we're going to probably see a situation where a lot more developers use their own bespoke tools to make it work, while Nintendo might just continue using its app.
Well, so bunch of problems here, bunch of red flags raised. So will you guys be getting this service on day one?
Not day one, essentially, because need to see the implementation when people do it. It's the same with iOS. Like, iOS 12 is releasing probably the same day or a previous day as of this recording of the podcast when it goes up. We'll just wait a day or two, see how it plays out, and then upgrade. Because the price isn't really a problem. Because like games like Xenoblade, Octopath Traveler put in hundreds of hours. I want that stuff backed up. And yes, and the best part is Splatoon 2 is online, which is what they're advertising this heavily with. It's not even like dedicated servers. It's P2P connectivity. So you're essentially just paying for the same nonsense. So yeah. But we'll be waiting. I think Rishi's going in day one.
Yeah, I'm going in day one. I just want to ride for a month first to see how it is. I mean, I'm very curious because when Sony first had its, you have to understand, from all the three major console manufacturers, Microsoft's first console, the original Xbox, had built-in online services. And they've had the like three generations to, you know, have it as polished and as good as it is right now. Sony has been doing it since the PS3. They had a piecemeal service on the PS2, which let you play Final Fantasy 11 and SOCOM, but then it was basically nothing in comparison to what they did with the PS3. So, I mean, they also had their teething problems, and very hilarious teething problems, I might add, which, you know, resulted in the PS3, the network for PSN going down for like, I think, a month. So it'll be fun to see what happens here. I mean, I'm curious to see where it'll go. I'm mainly in it for the cloud saves and Splatoon. But let's see. I mean, I want to get in just to see what'll happen, what'll go down. But what worries me in all of this is, let's be honest, you're going to have special offers for people who subscribe. You're going to have a ton of games for them to get. We still don't have a situation where getting more storage space isn't exactly cheap. Like, for example, at least in, like in the US, getting a 512 gig card still costs around $350, all right? In India, to get a 400 gig card costs you around 20,000 rupees or like roughly the same amount. Thankfully, though, like Amazon had a lightning deal where a 400 gig micro SD from SanDisk was costing 12,000.
Hmm.
And that's still expensive because at the end of the day, 12,000 is like, I mean, a third of the price of, I mean,
no, it's half the price of the console.
Yeah, half the price of the console.
And this is getting into the same situation as the Vita, where, okay, it was proprietary memory card, but it used to still be really expensive. When I bought the Vita in 2013, the 32 GB card at the time cost half as much as the console. And now while you'd be like a 400 GB card is much more than 32 GB. The thing is, Vita games were never over 3.5 GB. There was probably like a handful which are over 4 GB. On the Switch, like we literally just got review codes for games which are 14 GB and stuff like that. NBA released last week. You need to download 25 GB if you have it physically. If you buy it digitally, it's 32 GB. Yeah, that's basically almost 10% of the 400 GB card.
And as someone who's had a Switch from day one, and if I look at all my games installed on a 400 GB card, I only have, I think, 160 gigs left. So I'm kind of worried right now.
Right, so Nintendo Switch Pro will probably fix all your problems, Rishi.
Nintendo Switch Pro will likely just have a 64 GB thing built in, nothing more than that. So they're not going to do that.
Yeah, well, anyone hoping for a free Pro controller, just buy it. Alright, so Spider-Man, lots of things happened around this game, got a fantastic review on Gadgets360.com, and then got like even better reviews from customers who paid for pre-orders and were left stranded.
Yes, so a lot has happened. So I mean, for those of you who have just tuned in, I think episode 86 is when we had a massive Spider-Man blowout, which is a pretty kick-ass episode, check it out. But that aside, and the game is really good. I mean, as Pranay said, it's one of the best games we've played this year. The meat's at a point where it's a game I want 100%. And I think I'm 90% done, so 10% more for that lovely platinum trophy. But what's happened now is there have been a couple of things. Firstly, whoever pre-ordered Spider-Man, the standard edition, was supposed to get a bunch of pre-order bonuses. That never happened. We received a ton of emails from readers, and I received a ton of messages from readers on Twitter as well, and all of them have said that, hey, we pre-ordered the game, we got the game, but we didn't get the in-game avatar, we didn't get the themes, we didn't get suits, we didn't get the points. What's going on? And for its part, Sony claims nothing was committed, but at the same time, Sony also told retailers that the Spider-Man edition that's coming to India, the standard edition, is called Day One Edition. And Day One Edition means you get a pre-order bonuses. What's even worse is that Insomniac, the game's developer, claimed on Sony's own, on the Sony blog itself, the European Sony blog. India falls under Europe for Sony, for those of you who are unaware. He claimed that regardless where you pre-order in the world, you're going to get it. Now, I mean, so basically Sony pretty much skimped on the pre-order bonuses for India. That's one part of it. But what's happened as of this weekend is we've had multiple retailers letting us know that Sony's canceled the Spider-Man Special Edition. Now, the Spider-Man Special Edition has a mini art book, steelbook, bunch of DLC, and costs around 5,000 rupees. Now, you have to understand, the steelbook in India is a reason why people pre-order. It's a reason why people bother with the game day one. Otherwise, if they want a standard edition, they don't mind waiting a bit to get it later. People are happy to pre-order for a steelbook, and they don't mind paying the premium for a steelbook. And it was delayed. That's what we were told earlier. And now Sony's canceling it straight up. The reason that they've given retail is quote unquote unforeseen circumstances, which basically to me seems like shorthand for we could not allocate a quantity for India. Now, why I'm thinking that's the situation is because we are aware that globally, right after the massive E3 2018 demo for the game, all the pre-orders for Spider-Man internationally, US, UK, Europe, sold out. There was nothing left. India, meanwhile, started pre-orders for all SKUs, all editions of the game. Pre-orders started less than a month before release. So my guess is that it's an allocation issue. And this isn't the first time Sony's messed up. We've had them do it in the past. Horizon Zero Dawn got delayed. Gravity Rush Remastered never made it. Tearaway never made it. Ratchet & Clank never made it. Shadow of the Colossus got delayed. God of War Limited and Collector's Edition got delayed. And it just seems to be a deplorable state of affairs.
And, you know, like in a lot of episodes, we've spoken about how Microsoft is weird with not announcing releases and then popping up on retailers, not announcing controllers are coming in, but we find it through typos on Amazon India's website. But the thing is, Microsoft has never said they are bringing something, taken money for it from some retailers, or even told distributors that, oh, you can, like, you know, you can order this and we're going to deliver it, and not say anything at all. And, like, you know, it sucks for customers because Spider-Man is the biggest game this year after God of War.
I mean, I would go as far as to say it's bigger than God of War. Sure.
I mean, it's solely, like, in India, God of War is, like, really big.
No,
but
so I'll tell you why. Yeah. If I go purely on basis of reader responses, if I go purely on the basis of what we've seen from our readers and what I've heard of at retail, it is bigger than God of War at this stage. And for what we know, God of War had 40,000 units day one, standard edition. Spider-Man's probably the same, if not more. But the uptake has been very good.
Yeah, and the worst part is abroad, you had so many options with Spider-Man. You could buy a PS4 Slim bundle with Spider-Man. You could buy a custom red color PS4 Pro with Spider-Man. Special edition, collector's edition, digital deluxe and all. The only thing which worked out for Sony in India was the fact that people could buy the DLC alongside the game, which retailers have said that the uptake on that was pretty good compared to what they expected. But what's the point if a lot of people, like if you look at Amazon India, people pre-ordered it and Amazon had the pre-order bonus mentioned, but Sony didn't deliver. And apparently that was due to some miscommunication issue. We link to what happened with that in the show notes. But it's just a bad look for Sony in general, because God of War, granted, the standard edition showed up on time and this took a few days more. Here we're like over a week since release, like people are finishing the game, the platinum. There are some people who've ended up buying it digitally just so they can keep their collector's edition and special edition sealed. And yeah, they're not going to get that now. Like, even I have the special edition ordered and it's not going to show up now.
Yeah, I mean, our retailer basically called us and a bunch of people and said, yeah, it's not a thing anymore. And what this also means is, at the time of recording this podcast, you should be getting a call from your retailer or your game store saying that it's been cancelled. So, yeah, that. I mean, it's tragic because I think we have like 300,000 PS4s and Sony just doesn't give a crap about the audience. What's even worse is other territories that come under Sony jurisdiction. So, India falls under Europe. And specifically, it falls under Europe and Middle East territories. Now, if you just, like, you know, like check out what's happening in the Middle East, you check out what's happening in the UAE, and you see that all of them have every edition of the game, every edition of the console. And meanwhile, we're getting stuck with just the standard edition. And it just seems to me like it reeks of poor planning.
So, yeah, what does the gray market do in these situations?
Well,
so,
as of now, you can't really do much over there, because the same thing happened with Horizon Zero Dawn, where Sony either underestimated the quantity for that worldwide or they planned correctly, because Horizon Zero Dawn's limited or the Steelbook edition is super hard to find right now. The collector's edition is the same. And with that, they never showed up here. So some gray market sellers managed to get a few units, but after that, there's been nothing. That the opposite happened with Uncharted 4, where you can still buy the limited edition if you know where to look. But with Spider-Man, it looks unlikely, because most European storefronts are sold out for the special edition.
Yeah, so what happened with this is also a lot of the people who buy in gray is that they were given assurances from Sony that the special and collector's edition would show up. And when they compared the pricing, they figured out that it would be cheaper to just wait for Sony to show up and, you know, supply customers with stock that way. No one was prepared for Sony to ditch completely. And that seems to be the underlying sentiment with a lot of the retailers right now. So a couple of guys I spoke to, one of them was like, yeah, I mean, we could have made arrangements from Hong Kong. We could have made arrangements from UAE, but we didn't, because Sony promised it and said it would show up. They gave us an assurance, but that evidently hasn't happened. Now, what this also means is, if you're looking for it, well, you're kind of out of luck unless you're willing to order from a site like PlayAsia, which costs, I think, 7,000, not including customs, 7,000. So, which, if you include customs, you include shipping, that probably works out closer to 10 for an edition of the game that should be costing you 5. That's something to keep in mind. And if you're looking for the consoles, well, right now we've got no date, no estimate. Considering God of War consoles showed up later, this could happen, but again, nothing has been confirmed.
Cool then. So I think we're ready to talk about the games we've been playing this week. And in my case, it's Persona 5. Just playing more of it.
Looking good, Joker.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to get that out.
So I think now I cleared that Kamoshida Castle, which I mentioned last time. I finished that boss fight also, stole his heart and made him confess and blah, blah, blah. So finished that part and I'm sort of moving along with my life. Now, actually, there's like a bit of a lull where you have to sort of figure out your next target. And, you know, there's that thing going on with the investigator who sort of shows up at the cafe. And then there's that parallel going on. How did you choose your next target? And they are moving the story towards that. So enjoying it just as much as I was before. And apart from that, I have been playing this game called Imbroglio. Like a very like crazily addicted to it because, you know, I don't have my PS4 with me at all times. So in that game...
Gee, I wonder if there was a console which you could have with you at all times and when you were at home on the TV.
Also, it's called the Vita, right? With Vita TV.
It's okay. I don't buy offline consoles.
Oh, snap.
Anyway, so yeah, in Imbroglio, I think the maximum possible score is 256. I've reached 248 with one character. Just, you know, a little bit more of like try and try again to do as you do with most roguelikes. And then you get the high score, hopefully. Anyway, so that's pretty much my gaming journey for the last week and a half or so. What about you guys?
So I've been playing a ton of stuff. Let's go with Valkyria Chronicles 4 first. Been playing it on the Switch. Got review code a little later than I expected, so review's not up yet in general. But put in about 20 hours so far. It's really, really good. I don't know if it holds up like this. It'll be better than the first game, which everyone loves, and it had a really good remaster on PS4, which is coming to Switch. This game's really good. Improves on the combat. Looks and runs really well on the Switch, both handheld and docked mode. And yeah, it has some good character designs also. Valkyria character design's always been really good. And it uses that same watercolor art style. Very nice, very impressed so far. I don't know if I'll bother with the DLC, but that's going to show up later. So might wait for all of it to roll out before bothering. Other than that, I've been playing this other game called Fire Pro Wrestling World, which is apparently a really old franchise, which I'm playing for the first time now that it's on PS4. And it's from Spike Chunsoft. And while the game itself doesn't have any of the wrestlers which listeners would usually know, like, you know, Stone Cold, Rock, Austin, stuff like that, it's like focused on Japanese wrestlers and stuff. But it has a very, very, very detailed creator wrestler suite and a thing which you can connect your PSN account to online, which kind of works like Steam mods where you subscribe to something and the stuff just shows up in your game. So people have already made on the PC version, which was in early access last year, they've made Rock, Stone Cold, Austin, and they've even got their moves and taunts and all that done. So essentially just downloaded a few of those and started playing, and the actual core gameplay, I think, is the best wrestling has been since the PS1 era. So having a lot of fun with that, going to continue playing that. And it's a little, the timing is a little bad because we're going to be playing WWE 2K19 very soon. So not looking forward to that. The last thing I've been playing over the last few weeks is Blade Strangers on Switch and PS4, which is basically an indie fighting game with characters from Shovel Knight, Cave Story, Code of Princess, stuff like that. Very nice. It kind of plays like BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle in terms of accessibility, but it has stages and signature moves from all these franchises. So like the Binding of Isaac, Isaac is there. You can have him against Curly, stuff like that from Cave Story, or Solange from Code of Princess. Very, very good. Very impressed with it on both platforms so far. So yeah, just that.
All right.
What about you, Rishi?
Well, I've been playing a bit of Shadow the Tomb Raider. Yeah, got my copy super late. And I mean, for those of you who keep asking me when my review is coming out, well, we don't have one planned. That's because it came up late. But man, I mean, after as someone who loved the first two games of the new trilogy, I almost fell asleep playing this one. Or I think I did. I can't remember. It's hazy. But yeah, it's just made me sleep. That aside, been playing quite a bit of Destiny 2 Forsaken. It gets better after a very amusing opening campaign. It's actually a lot of fun now. It's quite interesting. I like the fact that, you know, you can just get in with you can just start off with a superpowered character. You don't have to worry too much about playing all the earlier content, and that's really nice. But it's good fun to play. I mean, there's some interesting story beats that happen here and some interesting surprises I don't want to spoil, but that's looking good. I also ended up playing Call of Duty Black Ops 4 Blackout, which is amazingly polished. I mean, let's be honest here, if you're a fan of PUBG and Fortnite, you owe it to yourself to check this out. But my only point of concern with Blackout right now is the fact that it costs $4,699 in India, $60 in the US at least. Mm. While PUBG is $30.99 on PC, or $30 or $1,999 on Xbox One in India, and Fortnite is free. So I don't know how that's going to stand up. But then as a beta, I mean, it's probably one of the most polished betas I've played. Probably as polished as the original Destiny beta back in 2014. It's that good. Mm. But let's see if it holds up. Very optimistic on this one. And in fact, very optimistic on Black Ops as a whole. Which is amusing because a few months ago, I was pretty bummed out that there was no single player campaign. So yeah, this could actually end up being fun. I ended up playing Wasteland on the Switch, Wasteland 2 on the Switch, and oh my god, I mean, it's a train wreck. The game crashes. The game just crashes straight up. Textures don't load. You have a situation where you have multiple tooltips on the screen at once, like this is Windows 95 with the pop-up ad virus.
So it, basically a Switch Wasteland.
Completely. It is just like bad. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's just tragic because I liked it on PC. It was a lot of fun on PC. And here it's just like they did everything they weren't supposed to do. It. I mean, let's be honest, PC UI and controls don't translate well onto consoles. That's something we already know. Diablo shown people how it can be done. All they had to do is borrow from that. But yeah, it's just bad. I wouldn't recommend anyone playing that. But yeah, that's what I've been playing this week.
Right then, that's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you're one of those tech-savvy people who use these things called podcast apps, then don't forget to subscribe to us via Google Podcasts on your Android phone or Apple Podcasts on your iPhone or any other podcasting app that you use. And if you're on these apps, then please do rate us. Your ratings, your subscriptions, they help us a lot. Please give us a nice little, you know, 5 stars for our efforts and quality. And also, the music for this episode comes via Magnus Solai Paulsen, whose album PPP is where the tracks are from. Thank you so much for listening.